tuned in to Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network.
Welcome to the Village Vision Podcast, where community collaboration and care converge. I'm Dr. Crystal Morrison, and I'm honored to be your host on this incredible journey. As a firm believer in the power of a united village, I'm thrilled to bring you inspiring stories, research, and projects that break down barriers in child and family care. Through heartfelt conversations with experts, advocates, and those with lived experiences, we'll showcase the transformative impact of collective support. So join me on the Village Vision Podcast as we explore the remarkable collaborations that lead to better outcomes, foster a sense of community, and inspire action to improve care for ourselves and everyone around us. On today's episode, I'm here with Liana Hill. Liana is the regional prevention provider for a federally funded qualified healthcare center, there we go, in Northwest Arkansas. She works in substance abuse prevention by providing training, education, and resources. This initiative allows her to partner and collaborate with her community and serve them in ways that work best for them through community-led initiatives. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
Awesome. So I'm really excited about talking to you today because of your work. And I think your work is a really perfect example of providing comprehensive healthcare, which we know is so desperately needed, and doing that at the intersection of community in a way that really meets the needs of that particular community. So I'm excited about talking to you about that work, but before we go there, I'd really like to understand more about what inspired your work in public health.
Sure. Growing up, I knew I wanted to study psychology. Psychology was my passion. I went to the Arkansas School for Math, Science, and Arts and never wavered from psychology once I got into the University of Arkansas. And then I needed a class for my last semester, and I signed up for an intro to public health course, and I completely changed the trajectory of everything that I wanted to do my last semester of college. So I rescinded all my applications to all my master's programs in psychology and started submitting applications to get my master's in public health instead, just because I could see like the real implications of public health in the community. And it was so fun, and I could see myself in the community, and I could see myself like with the boots on the ground and, you know, just getting out there. And it seemed so fun. So that's what inspired me to pursue public health instead of psychology. But there's so much overlap between the two with mental health and behavioral initiatives that it's still the same pathway that I was on, but just in a more fun way, in my opinion.
That's fantastic.
It's really great. Growing up was a really difficult situation. My father developed an addiction to substances when I was a teenager. So I knew that studying psychology, a lot of times people were like, why did this happen? What's going on? And that's kind of what got me into psychology. And then what got me into public health is, how can I change it? What can we do to make this change? That's a little bit about my journey.
I really appreciate you sharing that personal perspective about your father, because almost every single person I talk to, there's a deep personal connection to the work that we're doing today. And that is so important. So thank you for sharing that with me. And also, as you well know, I'm also an alumni of the Math and Science School. So shout out for that. And always happy to talk to other students. I think it's interesting, though, you say, you know, it's your last semester of college. Did that just shake up everything you knew about what you thought your future would be?
Oh my goodness. Yes. I mean, I remember calling my mom and being like, so I'm going to change my entire life path. And she's like, are you kidding me? You just paid to go through all this education. And I was like, it'll be relevant. It'll work out. It'll be okay. But I mean, it was terrifying to be sitting in a class saying, no, this is what I want to do, but this is my last opportunity to learn it. Like, I'm about to, you know, jump into the world feet first, and I don't know anything about this new world. And so, yeah, it was definitely scary, but it was so exciting, and it worked out for the best, for sure.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit more about the work that you're doing today. Your title is Regional Prevention Provider. And I would love for you to tell me and our listeners a little bit more about what that is and the type of work that you do.
Absolutely. So So we know that what works best is when we're working in our own communities, when we're familiar with the resources, we're familiar with the landscape. So in Arkansas, there's 12 separate regions of people who are regional prevention providers across the state. And they provide substance use education and trainings and resources that are county specific because we live here. We know this area. We're from this area. And we know what works best for the people in this area. And so they split us all up and they're like, okay, you take these counties, you take these counties and prosper. Well, I'm from one county and I serve multiple counties. So I can't do that work alone. So instead, I partner with multiple coalitions across each of the counties that I work in. And we work together because they know their community. Like, I mean, it gets down to community specific. And I'm not from every community. So I find those people from every community and say, hey, what works for you? Like, how can we make change in your community? What does this look like for you? What does this look like for your neighbor? And let's go. Like, I'm going to provide the evidence-based practices. I'm going to provide, you know, like the science behind what works, but let them drive that. Let them make that difference in their community.
Right. So Liana, I really appreciate you telling me about your role. Give me some examples of the type of work that you're doing. So specifically, you know, we talk a lot about community-led initiatives, but in the community that you're in, what are some unique types of services and resources that you provide that are somewhat unique to your community that might be different from, let's say, someone living in a very urban area or someone living in the West Coast, for example? What are some very unique needs and how do you address them in your community with your services?
Absolutely. And that's a great question. You know, Arkansas is extremely rural and rurality in itself can be a risk factor for substance use prevention. And along with rural communities comes poverty and lack of education, lack of transportation. And, you know, young kids often don't get the type of education that might look more traditional in other states and other cities. So, you know, kids are like not going to school still sometimes for farming purposes, working in those rural areas, helping their families. So with us, we work with these rural communities and the rural communities are so perceptive to the initiative. They want to be involved. They want to be hands-on. And being in Northwest Arkansas specifically, we have those huge urban communities as well with the Walmart headquarters being here and Tyson headquarters. So when I work in those communities, you know, it's almost there's more pushback. Oh no, substance use is not a problem. I don't think that we need to talk about that. And then I go into my rural communities in Madison County and Carroll County and they say, hey, how can we help? What can we do? How can we solve this problem? So there's a specific coalition that comes to mind in Madison County that come together for the good of the community and do health initiatives. So they do fun Fridays at the park where they talk about substance use, but also bring together teens and kids to like enjoy music and barbecue. And that's just a very Southern thing to do, in my opinion. And it's so fun just, you know, coming together and sharing laughs, but also using that time to educate and provide information on substance use. And then in some of our bigger counties and our more affluent communities, we try to find the niche of the area. So right now we're working on a roundtable for women to talk about women in addiction and where those gaps are and where we fit in and how we can help solve those gaps and barriers for women to help prevent substance use and to help decrease those barriers to treatment and then to help women stay sober after they have fully recovered.
I love that you are taking women and addiction head on. You know, when we talked last time, I mentioned to you a great book by Monica Potts and just the statistics around white women and addiction and the fact that for the first time, women in addiction and the death rates are increasing substantially rather than decreasing. And I don't remember the exact statistics right now, but what are some of the things that you're doing related to that initiative to really support women and addiction?
Absolutely. So good. So we just had our first phase one event this week. And what we did was we gathered 12 women from across our community that represented faith-based organizations and healthcare organizations, domestic violence. There was just a whole different group of sectors that came together who serve women. And we talked about what are some of the barriers, what are some of the themes that arise when we talk about women in addiction. And we talked about motherhood and how motherhood is just almost a barrier to treatment. Like, how can I find childcare for when I have court dates? Or how can I continue to be a quote unquote a good mom while battling my addiction? Is my kids going to be taken away from me if I'm seeking help? So a lot of times women, you know, they stay in addiction because they are afraid to seek help if they're going to lose their kids.
That's a great point. And we really don't think about that relationship between motherhood and addiction, but I know you're a mom, a young mom, and the stress of motherhood and attempting to balance everything and managing your own mental health is this huge struggle, right?
Right. Right. And then we touched briefly on faith-based initiatives, and faith-based can be a very strong protective factor for people in substance use. And it can, you know, lead to really great recovery, like with the 12-step programs and Celebrate Recovery, but it can also hinder progress. Sometimes there's such a stigma associated with people who are using drugs that they don't want them in their community, or they see them as like a stain or like it's a moral failing. There's a lot of misunderstanding about what addiction is, which is a curable disease. It's something where treatment is required. People need support and love. And a lot of times people look at that and say, oh, I don't need those people in my life. And, you know, they did it to themselves. But in reality, I mean, their brain has just been taken over by the substances that they are using, and they need that treatment and support.
You know, I'm really glad that you brought up faith-based communities, because I have talked to different people who are affiliated with faith-based communities, and really working with those communities to understand more about the roots of trauma so that people in that community can really serve the needs of the community, as opposed to being a bit judgmental about what that person mm-hmm. has gone through. And I couldn't agree more that, you know, the faith-based communities can be a tremendous support and really providing care and compassion for people who are undergoing challenges. But those communities also sometimes have a lot to learn about trauma and what's really needed to be truly compassionate and caring. And I think we can all do a better job of leveraging those communities as mm-hmm. long as we have a really healthy lens with respect to trauma.
Absolutely. And that's such a good point too. Tuesday, I learned that in Celebrate Recovery specifically, they brought forward trauma-informed care trainers to train the people in the churches on what addiction is, coming at things from a trauma standpoint so that they can best support the people that are battling with, you know, maybe teenage pregnancy, addiction, or homelessness, like everything that people can traditionally see as like a sort of moral failing, but more of a trauma-informed approach really shows that there's mental health aspects that need to be addressed here. And how can we do that? How can we support these people in more loving ways rather than just saying like, oh, bless your heart? And
that very Southern saying, bless your heart, right? Yeah, I, as I mentioned to you before, I talked to a wonderful woman, Suzanne Burns, several months ago. She's on a previous episode of my podcast about the work that she does working with faith-based communities on trauma-informed care. And I just think that this is such a great example of, again, that intersection between mental health care and faith-based initiatives and health care, because it's really leveraging the power of community, right? And that's what we're about, right? Okay, great. So in our last few minutes, we're going to talk a little bit more about an event that is very important to the community. It's an event that not a lot of people know about, honestly. I've heard about it before, but the event that you wanted to call people's attention to is called the Drug Take Back event. So can you tell us a little bit more about that and what that is?
Yeah, it's a very exciting event that the DEA actually puts forward twice a year in all of the communities across the nation. And it's where we come together and dispose of medications that we have, maybe just laying around at home or is expired, or it's just a great way to properly dispose of our medications and to gain more knowledge of proper medication disposal. And so we partner with local law enforcement. And we set up in our community at Walmarts or HARPs, banks, wherever different community organizations want to converge. And we have law enforcement come out and people bring in their drugs and we dispose of them. And it's a really, really great program that happens nationwide that allows us to get medications out of homes. Because a lot of times when kids report where they're getting their drugs, they're getting it from their homes or they're from their friends or from their friends' homes. So if we can, make that effort as parents, as friends, as neighbors to come together and drop our old medication that we are not using, we can play a part in drug prevention.
That's fantastic. So how can our listeners find out more about the Drug Take Back event, when it's going to happen, and how to get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a DEA website that talks about drug take back. And on this website, it shows all the locations nearest to you, and it has contact information so you can get involved. And people who work in prevention, they would always love more partnerships and more community partners to come together and help educate about substance use and proper medication disposal.
That's so helpful. And for all of our listeners, we will have the link to this website in our show notes. So you'll be able to find it there and find out more information about the Drug Take Back event. Liana, thank you so much for joining us today on the Village Vision podcast. I'm so grateful that you shared your story, including your personal experience and also your expertise with our listeners. So grateful for the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for inviting me today. It's really great to talk about substance use as an addiction and using the platform to educate, about what addiction is and how we as people can just help is phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Village Vision podcast. I hope you found inspiration and valuable insights from our conversation today. If you've enjoyed today's episode on Word of Mom Radio, please subscribe, rate, leave a review, share, all of those things. But thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of the Village Vision podcast. Take care and let's keep shining a light on the power of community, collaboration, and care.
She is sure. She is sure. She is